Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're broadcasting from Long Island News Radio, 103.9 FM. And I want to introduce a topic that we probably never handled quite this way, even though I've handled it before. Alternative energy is definitely the wave of the future. And here is the danger of that type of energy. The danger is that once we have enough people producing their own power and we can't meter it, then we will have the moneyed interest that I want to invest in fossil fuels and the power plants that make electricity. They will not be happy with the results when many people are off the grid. And there's another problem with that, too, because there are some people who can't get off the grid, and they're going to be squeezed by the fact that as this pool of people diminish by virtue of the fact that there's much more alternative energy like wind and solar, then those people will be stuck holding the bag for what they need to do. Now, of course, there's always new things happening in energy, and there are probably technologies that will come along that for people who can't use wind and can't use solar can use something else. But until that time, there's a danger to those people who are going to be crushed in the middle. But the resistance to solar power is with the energy companies themselves and the people who produce electricity. They don't want to see it happen. What they've done in some states like Arizona is that they've put a tax on people who have solar power. Now, that tax makes sense if it's reasonable and it's low. For example, if you want to be connected to the grid so that when you're not producing any solar power, you can tap into the grid, you should probably pay a small fee for that right. Maybe that right would cost you $5 a month or $10 a month because you're not asking them for anything that they're producing. All you're doing is asking them for a wire so that you could buy electricity from them when you need it. Otherwise, you'll produce your own. What they did was in Arizona, they created a tax that was $30 that you had to pay to, you know, $30 is, you know, a lot of money if you're not using any of their power. And that was cut back, and it was fought bitterly by the people who wanted solar power. But other states are doing it, too, and it's happening all over the country. It's not happening in New York because there's, I think we're pretty much committed to using alternative energy wherever we can for climate reasons and for other reasons. But as these technologies become cheaper, you're going to see the flight to them increase. And so as those things increase, you know, in use, the power companies are going to feel the pinch. And they're going to be looking to find ways to keep their revenue stream up so that, you know, you won't matter so much, but you'll be still paying the bill. Now, much of the cost of your power is still fuel. So if they're not producing any fuel for you, using any fuel on your behalf, any money that they collect is pure profit. There's nothing they have to do to earn that money. Now, they're still not going to make as much money as if they were producing 100% of your power, but they're going to be giving you a fee for which you're getting absolutely nothing but an insurance policy. And I mean by an insurance policy, that is, if your own power goes down, they'll still be able to provide you with some. And I'm not saying that's unfair. I'm saying that it's just, it has to be a reasonable amount of money. And it's got to be something that you and I could all agree is worth paying for. The other thing is we have a concerted effort on the part of the right wing in this country to degrade the value of solar power. And I remember President Obama gave $500 million to a company called Solera. Well, you know, I'm not so sure that Solera failed by virtue of the fact that it was a poorly run company. I think there was a tremendous amount of political pressure put on them. But I'll accept the fact that not every company that goes into a business does succeed. Some do fail. Now, we put about $30 billion into these companies overall. And Solera was $500 million loss. And there was probably a few others that came to another $500 million. So if you invest $30 billion and $29 billion of those investments is a success and $1 billion is not, I'll take that bet any day of the week. And we should just say, okay, that's what happens in business. Some people know how to run a business and some people don't. But the result is that of those that were selected by the administration to get help and get funded, 29 billion out of 30 was successful. And to me, that's an unqualified success. That is, if I had my own portfolio divided into winners and losers, and I had 29 winners and one loser, I have more than one loser out of 29, believe me. And still, I have made money over the years on my investments. So there's a political content here, and that political content has to be watched. And we have to be aware of what's happening and who's saying it and why. If you have some skin in the game and you're a producer of fossil fuels, then you're going to be wanting to see these kind of technologies fail. But if you're a consumer and somebody who just wants to turn the lights on and turn on the television, you're going to want to buy electricity from a source that's reliable. That is to say, you have backup, and it's reasonable. Years ago, people would go off the grid in places like the deep woods of, say, Colorado, where it would cost $150,000 to run a power line. So they would put, rather than do that, they would put $150,000 into solar panels and batteries and then get the rest of the power for free. Whereas if they had purchased the line to get to their very remote homes, they would have been not only suffering the cost of that very expensive power line, but they would be paying for the electricity that came over it for the rest of the life of the building. So we see that the price of electricity, if produced by solar power, has reduced itself by an enormous amount. By the way, that's also true of wind. We now have 6 megawatts of wind turbines. We didn't have that kind of capacity 20 years ago. I think the biggest thing was a 0.5 megawatt, and now it's 6 megawatts. Now, with the advent of superconducting circuits within those power generators, there's a possibility that we can go to 10 megawatts per unit. What that means is that the power that comes from those units are going to be very, very inexpensive. Now, as a side note, here we are building an infrastructure of oil in the Dakotas that is enormous. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing in the short term because it reduces our dependence on foreign oil. But how long is that going to be before it's not, the alternatives are so cheap that oil becomes less viable? I wrote an essay 20 years ago called Oil is Over. Well, I was, way ahead of my schedule because oil is not over and it won't be over for a number of years. but it will be over someday. And it'll be so over because we have captured the imagination of inventors who can produce things at a much cheaper price. And right now, over at SUNY Stony Brook and at Brookhaven National Laboratories, they are working on things that will bring energy systems to us at a much lower cost. And I'm looking forward to that day. So these are all things to contemplate. And when you read the papers, you have to be careful what you're reading is not being colored by the people who want to make you believe something else that's not in your best interest. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. And I thank you for being with us today. We're on 103.9 FM, Long Island News Radio. Thanks for listening.